What's up, everyone? Welcome to Speak Now Pro Wrestling with Denise Saucedo. I am live for my first show, and hopefully it's not a total and complete disaster. But thank you so much for everyone who is tuning in right now. I am so excited to get started. So I just want to let you all know that, first of all, I am so happy to be here, and I'm so excited for all of this new adventure that we're going to be going on here on YouTube with F4W. So as we get started, make sure to send in your chats, because I do want this to be a very, very interactive stream where I chat with all of you guys, get all of your opinions on wrestling and so much more. Today, we are going to be talking about a lot of stuff, but the main stuff will be a roundup of AEW and NXT. By roundup, I mean the best and most intriguing moments. And we're also going to be talking about the G1 Climax 30. I have lots to talk about that as well. And we're also going to go ahead and talk about a few other things. Also, as I'm seeing our first super chat come in here by iChurch Pastor Blaster, I do want to let you guys know that super chats are very much welcome on this stream. iChurch Pastor Blaster kicks us off here. Congratulations, Denise, on your first show. Thank you so much for sending this in. Guys, I am so excited. I don't even know where to begin. All right, well, I do, because I have a rundown for this show. But before we get started, I want to give out some shout outs to those of you who are in here, because I'm seeing so many new faces. But let's do this. Jeffrey Allen Smith says, Denise, the bar is pretty low. Thanks to Mike, you'll be great. Mike Sempervivi, he's such a great guy, guys. But thankfully, he set the bar low so that I can just go ahead and knock it out of the park. So thanks a lot, Mike Sempervivi. But who we have here? Samuel Duplessis says, Tranquilo Club. Love your vids, man. Thank you so much, Samuel, for coming into my debut show. You are awesome. We also have a comment from Jarek Moore who says, congrats. Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and jump right into it. Like I said, we're going to have tons of different segments, so get ready for it, because I kind of got a little creative with I was given a lot of freedom with the show. So I kind of went off and just kind of did my own thing. So I'm going to kick it off today with our first segment, and it is called What on Earth Should I Watch? Now, I know that many of you guys, sometimes we're scoring around, whether it's on the network, whether it's on New Japan World, whatever it is that you're on, sometimes we just don't know what to watch. There is so much content out there, and I am a huge believer that recommendations is the way to go. So I want to talk about the show or the program that you should be watching, and the thing that I need to talk about, because I absolutely loved, was the Steve Austin's Broken Skull Sessions with Kurt Angle. So now, guys, obviously Stone Cold Steve Austin is absolutely badass, amazing. And you know, his shows are really great. I've seen all the ones with Bret Hart. I've seen the one with The Undertaker. But I do think that the one that he did with Kurt Angle was by far the best. So if you've seen it, go ahead and let me know what you guys thought of it. If you haven't seen it, this is sort of going to be like a little recap or an anticipation of what you guys will be seeing on the show. So in the Broken Skull Sessions with Kurt Angle and Steve Austin, this was awesome, because as you guys know, Kurt Angle and Stone Cold Steve Austin have a super awesome legacy behind them. So we all know their history. I mean, come on, Jimmy Crackhorn and I Don't Care. We all know the lines. We all know it. So this was a really good insight into Kurt Angle, because he talked about so much that I really felt that we were able to get inside his mind in some of the biggest moments of his entire career. So it was a really good look at Kurt Angle and his career. And one of the best parts that I thought that there was for this podcast, because he talked about so much awesome stuff. By the way, I'm seeing, oh, hold on, we got a lot of notes in here, guys. This is awesome. But before I start reading some of your comments, I do want to let you all know that the best parts for the Kurt Angle segment with Stone Cold Steve Austin was when he talked about getting to kiss Stephanie McMahon. All right, so guys, this was absolutely crazy. So when he was talking about the kiss that he did with Stephanie, he was talking about how Vince was literally like right there. So he kind of gives us this insight into what that experience was like. He talks about the Olympics and like this intensity training that he did. 250 hours, guys. 250 hours of training, literally. I think he said it was 8 hours every single day for months, for 4 years. So Kurt Angle really gives us this great insight on everything that he did you know, training for the Olympics and whatnot. But I do have to say that one of my favorite parts, though, of this was when he was talking about his having a business mind and wanting to have a business mind. So a lot of people like maybe Austin and The Rock, they go in this and like they have an idea of what they want to do with business. So Kurt Angle basically says that's one of the things that he wished he had, that he was more business savvy. So I personally liked that he spoke about this, because a lot of times we think that for all these wrestlers that it's very easy to just go in and demand, you know, a certain amount of money or to negotiate. But the truth is that it's not always easy to make negotiations. So to have Kurt Angle talk about that, I thought was absolutely awesome, because it gave us a really good insight. And he talks about the first offer that he got from WWE and all of this other stuff. He also talks about his matches with Brock Lesnar, with Shawn Michaels, his relationship with Eddie Guerrero, with Shane McMahon. So if you guys haven't seen the Broken Skull Sessions with Stone Cold Steve Austin and Kurt Angle, that is my recommendation for this week, guys. And I hope to have some few of them for you as well. But let's see, has anybody here seen the show? By the way, Marco Gutierrez points out my psycho clown mask that I have in the back, and Seth Morgano says Denise Salcedo is crushing it. And Tony points out that 100% of the super chats do go to me. So if you guys do send any super chats, you guys are awesome. But guys, alrighty, let's see it. Has anybody seen the Kurt Angle Broken Skull session? All right, go ahead and send them in. Henry M says, Denise, shutting up all the haters by talking ancient history right off the jump. Henry M, I'm sorry, but I had to talk about it. I thought it was one of the coolest things that we've seen on the network. So it was just really awesome just to kind of go ahead and, you know, really get this insight on Kurt Angle. And also Kurt Angle is like one of my top favorite wrestlers. So just having him, you know, really get into his mind was awesome. All righty, guys, but we are moving on. Like I said, there's going to be lots of different segments on this show. And here is the next one. And it is not playing. All righty, guys. Well, that clip is definitely not playing because it hates me for this second. So let me make sure that I did not mess this up. Alrighty, guys, there you go. It is, hey, yo, did you see this tweet? So as we all know, Twitter is this crazy world where we see all of this random stuff. Sometimes we get a lot of gems, though, on Twitter. Sometimes people lose their mind on Twitter, and sometimes things just go very questionable. But I want to point out the tweet of the week, the pick of the week, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, guys. I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but I do think that T-Bar from Retribution is probably giving us the best gems right now on Twitter. So if you haven't seen his tweets, I'm going to go ahead and update you guys on everything T-Bar Retribution. And you're probably thinking, like, what on earth? But I got to say this, guys. I very much appreciate everything that T-Bar is doing on Twitter. So let me point out some of the tweets that he has sent out that I thought were just absolutely hilarious and that I feel we need to talk about. So T-Bar started off this one, and I should have known from this second that things were going to go really well. He sent out a tweet saying, our mission is to destroy the WWE, and we will do so by laying waste to every single superstar, past and present. The only exception to this is at the real X-Pac, because X-Pac is an outstanding name. You know what? X-Pac is an outstanding name, guys. And from that second on, I thought this was so random, but I absolutely loved this mention. And then T-Bar also tweeted out, every single person who posts the Urban Dictionary screenshots thinks that they are the first person to post the Urban Dictionary screenshots. This is definitely in reference to the Slapjack name that is also part of Retribution. And I don't need to tell you guys that, because you can go on Urban Dictionary and find out what Slapjack actually means. So I did like that he's sort of in the joke with all of it. And I'm seeing a lot of freedom on Twitter, but I really, really like it. He also sent out this recent one. He said, thank you, at Eric Bischoff. You are a huge inspiration for Retribution. We too aspire to one day destroy a billion-dollar wrestling company and bury it under fiery wreckage. Wow, guys. You know what? I just got to say it. T-Bar, He's going out there and he's making us laugh, okay? I mean, we all know that we're not all, you know, the biggest fans of Retribution or whatever, and everybody has taken their shots trashing Retribution, but the fact that he's going out there on Twitter and having fun with it, I can appreciate that, all right? I'm gonna appreciate T-Bar for that, so sue me, I love his work on Twitter. We have another super chat coming up here from Michael Esquivel. Michael, thank you so much for sending in a super chat. He says, keep up the great work, Denise. Thank you so much, Michael, for sending this in. We also have Welcome Women's Wrestling, who says, welcome to F4W. Great to have a fellow Swiftie on board. Hashtag Becky is coming. Oh my God. I so love that you guys all got the Taylor Swift reference for Speak Now Pro Wrestling. J Payan 421 says, imagine if the group that calls themselves Regradation becomes the new Dark Order. Did you want to say Regradation, or was that autocorrected and you wanted to say Retribution? All right, either way, guys. Paul S. says, I find it fully plausible that WWE management are dumb enough to hire people out to destroy them. This is a very interesting find, Paul S. But you know what? Like I said, yeah, Retribution probably isn't the greatest thing out there, but I like what they're doing on Twitter. Henry M. says, don't Google Slapjack and Urban Dictionary. Terrible. Don't do it. We're warning you now. And by this, I'm saying do it. All right. General Kanavi says, the shot at Bischoff was pretty good, but Retribution still appalling. Yeah, I get what you mean. Like the TV end, it's not going that great. But I do love what they're doing with social media. So like I said, I felt like they are the gems of Twitter for right now. And then, let's see, I'm putting up your guys' comments here. All right, so there you go. I wanted to hear what you guys thought about Retribution. And T-Bar, Nelson Wade says, teabag, teabag, teabag. And then Jeffrey Allen Smith says, teabag, what a missed opportunity. And J Pion 421 says, T-Bar does have a great Twitter, though. Thank you so much, because that is exactly what I'm saying. They do have a great Twitter. Alrighty, guys, so that is our Hey Yo, Did You See This Tweet segment. But now it is time to move on to, I guess you can say, the main chunk of our program for today. And that is, it is now time for the AEW versus NXT roundup. So, guys, but first of all, I got to say, watching both shows at the exact same time is definitely a lot of work, but it's very, very fun. And it's so cool, too, because usually I'm not going to lie, I watch one show first and then I watch the second show and I kind of go like that. But watching them both at the same time, and like I was pausing and pressing play, it was really cool to sort of see like what things are done at the exact same time of the opposite show. So this was pretty fun. But we're going to go ahead and talk about the main points of AEW and NXT, some of the things that I thought were the best part. And please feel free to send in your thoughts on all of this stuff, because I will be reading your guys' comments and getting your thoughts on all of this. O2 Tenka says, the queen of multitasking. Yes, seriously, yes. And Henry M says, AEW, AEW, AEW. So I'm seeing we have some, I think people are either pro AEW, pro WWE, and then there's people that are just in between and just like everything. I'm the I like everything person, guys, so that's how I feel about this. But let's go ahead and jump into it. Let's start off with AEW, guys. So one of the things that I absolutely loved on tonight's show was the opening match, which was Ricky Starks versus Darby Allin. I thought this was awesome. I thought they did such a great job showcasing both of these guys, and I love the fact that both everything that Darby and Starks did, they had a lot of anger behind them. With no matter what they did, every single move that they did, they had this anger. And I liked that because it adds like this realism to it. So I thought that was great. One of my favorite spots, though, was the spear from midair from Ricky to Darby Allin. I thought that spot looked absolutely awesome. And I also liked that we got to see lots of variations from Darby Allin. That was a really cool spot as well. But what did you guys think of this opening match? Feel free to go ahead and send in your thoughts here. I thought this was a really great opener, honestly. And afterwards, things turned very chaotic. And by chaotic, I mean there was a lot going on. All right, so Cody Rhodes, he's back. So he's cutting a promo. And I love this promo, but it's not a surprise because we already know that Cody Rhodes is such a great, does great mic work. So Cody Rhodes comes out and he basically says, you know, he's talking about this new show that he's on. He's saying he got that call from Hollywood, that 323 area code, which by the way, I'm 323 area code. So I felt special hearing this. But he basically said that, you know, he didn't feel like his credentials lined up to all these other people that he was working with, like Snoop Dogg. And he was disappointed that he had lost in a 3-minute match or less than 3 minutes. So I like the fact that he brought this up and sort of correlated both this wrestling world with this Hollywood world and how that impacted him outside of wrestling. So I really like that Cody Rhodes incorporated that into this promo. It was absolutely fantastic. But then afterwards, he's asked by Dasha whether or not he is going to be accepting Brody Lee's challenge for the dog collar match. And he says no, right? And he leaves. And I'm thinking, oh man, he really did mean no. And honestly, Cody played it off so well when he left that I did not see the fact that he was going to come back. When he came back and he basically said that he accepted, man, this guy had the energy levels like up here, okay? Like he really meant it. I am back. So honestly, it was crazy the way he just kind of took the mic and really just went for it. So I thought that was absolutely awesome. And then let's see, Michael Fitz, let me pull up a chat here. Oh, where'd you go? Oh no. Okay, there you go. Sorry. Michael Fitzsimmons says, I want Cody and Brody Lee to bleed buckets. After this, Michael, I definitely see it happening. So here's what went down after Cody Rhodes accepted the challenge. Brody Lee comes out and attacks him. And I swear to God, guys, you blink and the entire roster all of a sudden is out pulling these two guys apart. And, you know, they go at it, you know, your typical two guys going at it, trying to kill each other and everybody else keeping you separate. And it got so intense where so many people were out there keeping them apart. I couldn't even see Cody Rhodes through most of it. But I just got to say, I'm a big Brody Lee fan too. Everything that he has been doing on AEW has been absolutely awesome. And to be honest, I didn't really have high expectations for him going into AEW, but he has blown me out of the water because I think his expressions are great. His promos have been great. I even loved him on Being the Elite. I thought he was hilarious when he had that segment with Sue. So I really like what Brody Lee is doing. And so having him and Cody work together, I do think was a great idea. And I'm actually a pretty big fan of what they're doing. And so anyway, so they kept going back and forth. Brody Lee left at one point. He came back and tried to attack Cody Rhodes once again. We saw Brandi Rhodes and Anna Jay go at it outside the ring. So it was pretty much very, very chaotic. That's just the sense of the word that we're going to go here, guys. It was chaotic. But I honestly do think that they did a really great job at getting me excited for next week's dog collar match. So what did you guys think about Brody Lee, Cody Rhodes, and this upcoming dog collar match? And yes, I do think that I want to see lots of blood. Henry M says, this kid is brilliant. Love her analysis. Thank you so much, guys, because it's my first show. So I just hope to make a good impression. And hopefully my shows get even better and better as we go. And we built a rapport here, a reputation, or I'm messing up my words already. All right, JPayan41 says, Mr. Brody Lee is over-delivering. Yes, he really is. El Vato Dro says, Brody needs to whip Cody's ass Gangnam style. You know what? I like the way you expressed that. I like the way you built that up. So good job to El Vato Dro. And Michael Esquivel sends another super chat. He says, I don't know who to choose. Brody is amazing, but Cody has just got back. It's going to be an amazing match. Honestly, I want to see Brody win. I think they're doing something unique with him, and I really like what he's bringing to the table, and I love what he's been doing at AEW. So I know I've said that a million times, but I really do like what he's doing. So I would like to see that momentum sort of keep going. But then at the same time, you know, Cody's back. He's got to get his revenge. So I think we'll be seeing a little bit of this back and forth stuff. So there you guys go. That was the Cody Lee, Brody Lee segment. So I'm excited for the dog collar match next week. That Timestamp guy says Cody's going to embarrass the leader. Ooh. Henry M says Brandy versus Anna Jay is a great rivalry. And then iChurch Plaster Blasters points out Nyla Rose came out of nowhere. You know what? I kind of felt a lot of things came out of nowhere throughout this segment, guys. I'm telling you, I blinked and the entire roster was out, okay? But overall, honestly, it got me excited for this. But let's go ahead and move on. One of the other things that I thought was absolutely awesome on the show, and this was definitely Isaiah Cassidy versus Chris Jericho. So just heads up, a lot of people, you know, I'm new here, so a lot of people are barely getting to know me. And a lot of people ask me, like, who's your favorite wrestler? I've gotten a few DMs where people want to know who my favorite wrestler is. My favorite wrestler is Chris Jericho. So just know that going into this, I'm a big time Jerichoholic, always have been, probably always will be. But let's just kind of dive into this match though. Isaiah Cassidy, Chris Jericho. You know what? I got to start off by saying that Chris Jericho, he is such a great performer. And not just in the sense that, you know, he's good in his mic work or he's good in his in-ring ability. No, it's the fact that he goes out there and he's really, really trying his hardest and doing everything he possibly can to get the young talent in AEW over. And I mean, so many guys probably wouldn't do that, haven't done so in the past, but Chris Jericho is going out there and he is doing literally everything he can to help build these guys up. And we definitely saw it in this match with Isaiah. It was a really, really great showcase for Isaiah. Honestly, it wasn't the match that I was expecting. I thought, if anything, we got so much more out of it. And this was Isaiah's first singles match on AEW. So to have a performance like this, I thought was absolutely phenomenal. You know, Jericho obviously didn't need any offense going into this match. Yeah, we did see cocky Chris Jericho through a portion of this match. But the fact that he let Isaiah shine through so much of this match made Isaiah a made man for this match. So honestly, great. I love this match, guys. I really did. And then I do also want to point out, though, that had this match happened with a regular crowd, and I know AEW has a few people in there, but had this been a regular crowd, they definitely would have been like popping so much for this match. This is one of those matches that with an actual crowd would have gone even more over, honestly. Nelson Wade says the COVID cod. Oh no. Nelson Wade also says Y2J. And then Kenny D says the ratings will be low. The NBA finals were on. NXT and AEW will get hurt by a couple hundred thousand. And then we also have Patel Ron says, nice to hear some positivity here. Thank you so much. I really hope you guys are enjoying this show so far. And then Paul S says, I'm eagerly awaiting Jericho / Dr. Luther feud. Interesting. And Kenny D says, hey, F4W Online. I don't know who this person is, but I like the fact that she loves wrestling. Nice ad. Thank you so much, Kenny D, for the love. All right, guys. So there you go. Let's go ahead and move on to one of the other segments that I thought was absolutely cool. Now, maybe not absolutely awesome, but I thought it was pretty funny. So this is Kip Sabian and Miro planning their bachelor party, and we see them in arcades. We see them throwing axe. I thought it was a pretty interesting segment. It was kind of a little bit brief. I would have liked it to be a little bit longer just because I did think that it was pretty funny. Wrestling Fandom says, hey, Denise, welcome to the F4W Empire. What do you think of Moxley's new bulldog choke? As Cody said in his promo, Moxley has been the best wrestler in the world for the past 207 days. Anytime any wrestler can incorporate something new, I'm all for it. So thank you so much for asking, Wrestling Fandom. And Zach Hagen Butcher sends in a super chat. Thank you so much, Zach. He says Judas Effect counter to the springboard move was excellent. Yes, I definitely agree with that, Zach. Thank you so much for sending in a super chat in here. All righty, guys, let's go ahead and move on. Okay, so I mentioned that I love the Miro Kip Sabian thing because it was funny, but another funny segment that we had on AEW, and I just gotta say, I love MJF, all right? MJF is so hilarious, and he just keeps outdoing himself even more and more, but I especially love when he has these interactions with Chris Jericho because they really do bounce off one another, and they have this great improvisation between the both of them, which I think is pretty darn entertaining. But let's go ahead and talk about this. So MJF basically goes to the locker room, goes backstage, essentially crashes the Inner Circle's party. They're just not really a party, but they're lounging, they're having a good time doing guy stuff. I don't know what that entails, but they're doing guy stuff. All right. And basically, he gets them gifts. He gets them all jackets except for Sammy. I don't know what happened. This, maybe the jacket was missing. Maybe it was never packed. Who knows what happened there? But the point is, he did not get a jacket. And this was funny, though, because Chris Jericho basically asks MJF, do you want to join the inner circle? But MJF responds with, do you want me to join the inner circle? Oh my God. And they kind of went back and forth with that as well. And I just thought it was so, so good, guys. Like this back and forth action of just them being funny with one another, I thought was great. Okay. iChurch Pastor Blaster says, did I miss the FTR SEU recap? No, you did not. So I'm going through this is a roundup of basically my favorite moments or best moments that I think so. I thought the FTR SEU match was okay. I didn't think it was probably like the best match that I've seen. So I was a little bit not, I didn't include that one in my best moments roundup, guys. So forgive me. But alrighty. So honestly, though, I really did love this back and forth action, this back and forth conversation between MJF and Chris Jericho. And I have a theory, guys. So here we go. This is my theory. And I've seen some theories coming up here as well. So my theory is that MJF is going to take over the inner circle, become the new leader. And I think that the only person that is going to stay loyal to Jericho is Sammy. So I do feel that that's where they're heading. But again, that is just my little theory here. And then let's see what you guys are saying on here. Curry Head says, I think in MJF versus Y2J or MJF versus Sammy is interesting. Yeah, I think we'll probably see that down the line. Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and move on. Oh, Stingray says, FTR SEU favorite moment was Kaz setting up Sky's dive. Thought that was done really well. Guys, at any time, honestly, because I love SEU. I think they're such a great tag team. And I gotta say that I think that Scorpio Sky is honestly, he's had some very, very high moments on AEW, some really good moments, but I do still think there's so much untapped potential with Scorpio Sky. He's one of the guys that I would love to see just kind of keep doing more in AEW. So anytime that he's even on Dynamite, I call that a win, by the way. Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and move on. So the next thing that we want to talk about is the main event for AEW, and then we still got to get into NXT in the best moments here, but Jon Moxley versus The Butcher. All right, so I have a lot of things to say about this. So let's just start off with the fact that Eddie Kingston was, you know, naming the opponent for Jon Moxley for the championship. I gotta say, though, that I was not a fan of this whole setup because to me, it really didn't make any sense. Now, maybe some of you guys can, you know, give me a different opinion here, but this is how I sort of saw it. I saw it as, why would Eddie Kingston want to give somebody else an opportunity to win the championship from Moxley when really he should be the guy trying to get that championship from him? So I would have appreciated this, or made, for me, it would have made a lot more sense had this been a non-title and he really just sent out The Butcher to sort of just be this, you know, to wear Moxley down. So I think had they gone that direction with it, to me personally, it would have made a lot more sense. And it would have been, even if it was for the title, I thought it would have been more interesting had The Butcher not actually tried to even get a pin on Jon Moxley, because it just would have made more sense. It would have been like, okay, I'm here because I just want to wear Jon Moxley down. I just want to beat him down and, you know, get him weaker so that eventually Eddie Kingston could come in and, you know, eventually get one over on him. But I do think that it kind of did not make sense to me, this whole setup. But with that being said, I did not see The Butcher as the chosen opponent. I don't know why, but I was kind of expecting somebody else. So when they came out with The Butcher, I was a little bit taken aback, but then quickly it made sense to me as to why The Butcher was selected. And I did think the match was pretty good. I'm not gonna lie, it was a definitely a good match. But let's see what people are saying. Multiverse One says he agrees with me. Okay, good. And then Tony Del Monte says Phoenix versus Moxley would have been much better. I had for a second, I thought that it might have been one of the Lucha Brothers, but then it just kind of, all right, I figured it wasn't gonna be them. And then J-Pan says, rewarding his family so they don't wise up that he's using them. Okay, thank you so much for using the keyword family, because I did want to mention one more thing that I forgot to mention. Okay, so when Eddie Kingston was doing his promo and he called out the referee Bryce and basically saying like, why did you make this call on AEW last week? And I love the fact that he basically responded with like, you've known me for 20 years. Like, why didn't you just reach out to me instead of essentially coming on here on live national television and, you know, doing it here on, you know, where everybody's watching. I did like that touch because, you know, it's always a thing where it's like, oh, I waited a whole week to, you know, to say this to your face. But when people know each other, you think like, okay, well, why didn't you reach out to me not on television? So I did think that was sort of funny and a really nice touch. But guys, let's go ahead and jump into NXT now. So those were sort of my recap, what I thought were the best moments of AEW for tonight. But let's go ahead and jump into NXT, because there was definitely a lot that went down. So the opening match was Shotzi Blackheart versus Dakota Kai. Dakota Kai came out with Raquel, which, by the way, Raquel, man, oh my God, every time I see her, it's like I forget how impressive she looked. If that makes any sense. Every time she comes out, I'm re-impressed by her. That's definitely not a word, but we're going to roll with it, everyone. Alrighty. So I loved this match. I thought it was good because they had this very exciting pace that you want to see in an opening match. So I did like that. And the thing that I like Dakota Kai, and I think she's been doing great work, but I still think there's something missing with Dakota Kai to sort of take her to that next level. But with that being said, Shotzi Blackheart, no matter what match that she does, I swear, she always has like this electricity, this energy that no matter what match it is, no matter what it is, she always brings this energy with her, and she just gets over so well with the audience. It's so hard not to like and cheer Shotzi Blackheart or be into her matches. So she makes it very easy for me to be engaged in all of her matches. And I really did enjoy this as an opener. But we have a super chat here. Paul S. says, best wrestling butcher, the Butcher, Abdullah the Butcher, Butcher Bachan, Butcher Ed Leslie, or Necro Butcher? Guys, go ahead and answer this one. I would love to see what you guys have to say here. All right, go ahead and send in your answer. Paul S., thank you so much for sending in this super chat. You are absolutely awesome. All right, I don't know why I said awesome like that. Nelson Wade said, that match sucked. Are you talking about the women's opening match? I'm assuming you are, since that's what we're talking about. But I didn't think it sucked at all. Honestly, I thought it was pretty good. And Crocodiles, thank you so much for sending in a super sticker. You are awesome. By the way, guys, yes, at any point, you are more than welcome to send in a super chat or a super sticker or whatever you guys want to send in. You guys are more than welcome to do so. All right, so now let's jump into one of the other things that I loved about NXT, and that was the Santos Escobar and Isaiah Swerve Scott segment. So, oh my God, guys, I just gotta say this. Santos Escobar, and this is not breaking news or anything like that, but Santos Escobar, man, he has so much charisma. I cannot wait to see this man, you know, going for the NXT world title, because honestly, he just has so much charisma, and I just feel they can do so much with Santos Escobar. And I, as much as I like Isaiah, I just feel that Santos Escobar completely outshined him in this. But I absolutely love the part where he said, where he quoted, century of tradition, and I'm going to bury you with it, basically saying that he's going to use this, you know, this tradition that's been going on for a century, where he's talking about Lucha and all the history of that, and he's going to bury Isaiah Swerve Scott with it. I thought that was such a great line in this promo, and I just thought it came off really, really well. Alrighty. Oh, guys, we got some answers here to our question. And Corey S. says Necro Butcher, and Nelson Wade says Butcher Vachon, and then and same thing for Charisma 32, and then Rivered Kiwi says John Silver is the GOAT. Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and move on to the next part. Okay, so I gotta say this now. This was my favorite segment of NXT, guys. I don't know if you guys will see it coming, but this was my favorite. And it was Cameron Grimes Invitational. I'm sorry. I found this to be absolutely hilarious. Like everything top to bottom about this was so funny. So Cameron Grimes comes out and he basically says that he's not in a good mood. He needs to be, he's not in a good mood, but he's going to cheer himself up. So he hypes up this invitational and the first person he brings out is, get this, Joey Pistachio. Joey Pistachio, and he builds him up to be this like great athlete. I think he said in like the 80 pound division. So it was super just like wonky, but it was hilarious and it worked. And he comes out and essentially just, you know, beats him up like in a split of a second. And then after that, we have this guy who he announced as Joey Strong. And I started laughing because he was naming everybody Joey, which I thought was pretty funny. But okay. So he builds up this Joey Strong guy and he's barely making his way out. And honestly, I was looking forward to seeing a few of these people because I liked the way that he was, you know, announcing them as they were coming down to the ring. I thought that was pretty hilarious. But then Ridge Holland comes out and attacks this Joey Strong. And all right, I just have to say, I've been impressed with Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland has this intensity, this killer intensity that he has with him is so unique. And I just got to say, I am a fan of Ridge Holland and I love what they are doing with him. So he comes out, he attacks Joey Strong. He gets into this match with Cameron Grimes and it wasn't even a match. He literally just stomped the guy practically to death there. All right. This was such a brutal beatdown for Cameron Grimes, but it looked phenomenal. I loved this. So that was that. Ridge Holland, I'm a fan. And then afterwards, later on in the show, we did see Cameron Grimes run into Dexter Lumis. And I couldn't stop laughing. I was like, this guy is having a horrible day. He gets his invitational gets destroyed. Ridge Holland beats him up. And then he runs into probably the creepiest guy on the roster, Dexter Lumis. I mean, come on. All right. Paul S. says, Cameron Grimes is a fantastic heel. Completely ridiculous, but just credible enough to be a comedy geek. But see, yeah, like he comes up with these things that on paper probably sound or would sound very ridiculous, but the fact that he is able to pull them off and the way that he delivers these lines, and it just goes so well with him. Like it's all in the delivery, and that's what you get with Cameron Grimes. So I loved it. Like honestly, more and more I'm becoming a bigger Cameron Grimes fan. Like I didn't get the Cameron Grimes thing right at the start, but as like every week goes by, I become a bigger and bigger fan of his as well. Alrighty, guys, let's go ahead and, oh, Curryhead says, I watched this segment and Cameron Grimes was hilarious until Holland beats the break. Yeah, he really did. He really, really did. And Tony Del Monte says, I'm upset on how WWE is using Kushida. Come on, maybe Kushida should return to New Japan. Kushida should be the next champ. Once we get into later on, I will on our predictions for NXT TakeOver 31. I do think Kushida is winning, but I'll get into that later on as we go on. And here we go. We have some dream booking here by Delirious Army. Barry Cool says, Ridge Holland equals NXT Brock Lesnar. Oh, okay. For a second, I thought you said you wanted to see Ridge Holland versus Brock Lesnar. I was like, okay, I'm seeing where this is going here. But I get what you mean by the intensity, the same intensity that somebody like Brock Lesnar would have. And all right, let's go ahead and move on. Oh, CJ Mania has a nice comment. He says, I like this girl. She brings a different energy than Brian and all the other guys. Well, I'm glad to be standing out. Thank you so much for the nice comment. All right, guys, let's move on. All right, where was I at? All right, we're still on NXT here, guys. We're still on NXT. I'm telling you, reviewing two shows like in like, I don't know how many minutes, it's pretty, pretty intense, but let's move on. Okay, so one of my other parts that I enjoyed of NXT tonight was definitely Adam Cole versus Austin Theory. So we already know that Adam Cole is a great worker. I don't need to tell you that. No one needs to tell you that. We already know that. His moves were so explosive tonight in the ring. I mean, oh, this match was really good. I really enjoyed it. It was probably, yeah, it was definitely my favorite match of the night. And here's the thing, though, is that Austin Theory, I wasn't expecting him to sort of keep up with Cole the way that he did in this match. But the way that he did keep up with him in this match, I thought went really, really well, where I just felt that I was more impressed by Theory than I have been in the past. So I did think this match was really great. It was a cool match, guys. I thought it was probably the best one so far. Tony Letter says, anybody else notice the cape of the figure in the background? Yes, and I think it's moving too because of the fan. Alrighty, guys. Let's go ahead and move on. All right. Henry M says, Denise is hilarious. Thank you. Thank you. Oh man, you threw me off. Where was I at? All right. Okay. So yeah, Adam Cole versus Awesome Theory. Good match, guys. Thumbs up on that one. All right. After this, we had the Shawn Michaels, Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor face to face. This was good. All right, this was good. And the reason for that is that this was different. It felt unique. It didn't feel heavily scripted. It felt genuine. It didn't feel hokey like some of those contract signings that we see all the time where, you know, something outrageous has to happen. Somebody flips a table over and, you know, guys talk trash in their face. No, this felt more real, more genuine in the sense that in the sense that Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly were literally just two guys that really truly believe that they can kill the other guy, that they're better than the other guy. And I loved that. So I did like the sit down. It felt very moody, very dark, and very serious, but I think that was a very different take, and that's what I appreciated about this. So honestly, I really did enjoy this, but if you guys have any thoughts on this, go ahead and send it in on the comments, and feel free to send in any comments throughout this entire show. I do want to make this a very interactive thing. I don't want to just be me talking about my thoughts. I want to hear your thoughts. So make sure to send those in as well. And then we had for the main event for NXT tonight, we had the mixed tag match, Io Shirai and Damian Priest versus Candice LeRae and Johnny Gargano. I mean, guys, they're all great workers. We know this. And what I specifically like was that this was really just a tease. This was a nice tease to NXT TakeOver 31 because we know that we know that Io Shirai and Candice LeRae, we know that Damian Priest and Johnny Gargano are respectively going to have their own killer match. And so I liked this, and I liked the energy for this whole entire match. We saw some really fun spots throughout it. I thought it was really good. And just honestly, overall, a good match. And I wasn't expecting anything less than this, to be honest. I got exactly what I was expecting out of this. Alrighty, guys. So there you go. That is our NXT AEW roundup. And we'll kind of go from there. Alrighty, guys. So now I did mention earlier that we are going to do our NXT TakeOver 31 predictions. So we're going to go ahead and pull this in a second because Rob Van Kram did send in a comment. He says, that sit down was brilliant. Didn't feel like the over 5 minutes it ran for. If it were an in-ring, they would have had entrances for 3 minutes, then a quick jaw jack leading to the brawl. Exactly. Those contract signings tend to be very predictable. And I think that the way they did this, this face-to-face thing, sort of took that unpredictability. Out because it honestly just came across very well, like two respectable guys that just want to beat the other person up. D-Train Riot Maker says, Balor versus O'Reilly should be match of the night on TakeOver. Looking really forward to this match. Oh man, I think this is the match people are most hyped up to see. I don't know if it'll be match of the night. We'll find out this Sunday, but it's definitely up there. And Tony Del Monte says, I know this is off topic, but one thing for Raw, I feel that Ray's uncle, Ray Sr., should make an appearance. That is Tony Del Monte's thought. And then, all right, let me see. Chad722 says, love the enthusiasm. Thank you so much, Chad. And Henry M says, damn, we have 20 minutes left. We're going to get G1 commentary. Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Thank you so much. Let's get into that. All right, guys. But before we get into that, I did mention that we're going to do the NXT TakeOver 31 quick predictions. So here we go, guys. The first match that we're going to go ahead and talk about is Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano. And this is for the NXT North American Championship. Make sure to send in your picks throughout the chat and see who you think is going to win for this one. My pick for this match is definitely Damian Priest. I do see Damian Priest taking this one. I feel they can do. He just got the bout, guys, really. And Johnny Gargano doesn't need the title whatsoever. So I definitely see Damian Priest taking this one. And then Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae for the NXT Women's Championship. So I think that we might be seeing Candice LeRae win. I don't know if it's because I just did this recent interview with her, but I just kind of got the sense that we might be seeing her win. And it wasn't anything that she said in the interview. It was more just the fact that she was talking about the match. And I think it made me really excited. And so it put this idea in my head that now I just really want to see Candice LeRae win. So I do think we might see her win. And this is, I do think that we might be seeing Io Shirai, possibly. I don't know. This is just my speculation. Maybe, just maybe, we could see her go to the to Raw or SmackDown, because she's somebody that could easily, you know, we need more women. We need more women on both shows. So she's somebody that could easily challenge for the bout with no explanations or not having to build up any sort of credibility, because she's just NXT, you know, women's champion. So I do think that we may be seeing Candice LeRae winning this one. D-Train says EO. He has EO for this one. Chad 722 says Candice. Delirious Army says EO. And then Fitz Von Erich asks if EO is getting called up. That we do not know. We do not know, but it is a guess here. All right, guys. And for Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly for the NXT Championship. So for this one, there was a line where Kyle O'Reilly said that no one ever loses their first title defense. So the fact that he said that to Finn Balor, it kind of makes it, it adds a little bit of intrigue. Like, what's going to happen here? Because he's right in the sense that no one really ever loses their first title defense. So what's going to happen? I don't know, but I did love that line, because you know that WWE doesn't just always throw out these like throwaway lines like this. So I do think maybe that was, I don't know, guys. This is the match that I'm a little bit torn up on, where I don't know who's going to win, but I'm going to just go ahead and go with Finn Balor, because I still think that they can do so much with Finn Balor. And that's not saying they can't do anything with Kyle O'Reilly, but I just think they still have a lot of leg with Finn on this one. And Aaron Entertainment says his pick for this one is also Balor as well. And Curryhead actually thinks that LeRae will. Oh, okay. Curryhead says LeRae will win and EO is getting called up. So that is another prediction. And Crocodile says would like to see LeRae get the title. Alrighty, guys. Ojawa says no one loses their first title defense. Said sad Sasha Banks noises. Oh, okay. Alrighty, guys. And thank you so much. Matthew Ledesma says Denise is a demo goddess. And Agustin says he likes the way I talk. Thank you. Alrighty, guys. So there you go. Oh, no, wait. I forgot two more matches, guys. I was about to move on because I'm so excited to talk about the G1. But all right, Kushida versus Velveteen Dream. I said this earlier. Definitely Kushida. Santos Escobar versus Isaiah Swerve Scott for the NXT Cruiserweight Championship. Definitely Santos Escobar. But now, guys, it is finally time. And we have just about a few minutes to get into this. But it is now time for Denise's favorite G1 Climax 30 matches. Sorry, I'm laughing at my own photo on this graphic. Guys, all right. So I'm just going to tell you guys which matches I absolutely loved, why I love them, and why I think you should watch them. But make sure to let me know what you guys thought, or what you guys have been thinking thus far of the G1. What you guys thought have been like the best matches or whatsoever. Go ahead and throw them in the comment section. All right, so I'm going to start off with night one, which had Tomohiro Ishii versus Minoru Suzuki. So you should know now that Ishii is probably one of my favorite wrestlers right now, and maybe he's getting on my all-time list, okay? Because I didn't realize how big of a fan I was of Ishii until I realized that I love all his matches, and it's very hard for me to dislike one of his matches, okay? Honestly, I thought that his match against Suzuki was the most entertaining match that I've seen throughout any promotion this year. Honestly, it was just top to bottom, pure excitement, okay? And that's the kind of matches that I like, that just like, it doesn't take much for me to get invested, like right from the beginning, they're going at it. And I mean, these are two badass guys, all right? You can't be Suzuki, you can't be Ishii, okay? You can't pretend to be like them. Like, this is something that is just so natural in them. So the fact that they just kind of like went at it with each other. Oh, I love this, guys. I really, really love this. Brian Rose says, woo, let's go, Ishii. And Genaro Kanabe says, best matches always feature Ishii. Honestly, yeah. All right. My next favorite match for the G1 so far has been, okay, this next one is also Ishii. By the way, this was not in any specific order, but the next one that I love was from Night 5, September 27 show, Ishii versus Kota Ibushi. And Kota Ibushi, I would say, is my second favorite in New Japan, with first being Ishii. Sometimes I switch them up and I can't decide. But I love the energy of this match right from the start. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think that Kota Ibushi and Tomohiro Ishii have the best chemistry with, like, than with anybody else. I love the chemistry that they have together. I think that their energy is unmatched. Their chemistry is unmatched. I mean, I love everything that they do together. There was lots of chops in this matches, lots of kicks, lots of back and forth exchanges. A lot of slap exchanges were great too. Honestly, I loved this match. Like, I can't even stress that enough how much I love this match. All right. I also really enjoyed Will Ospreay versus Shingo. So I'm going to say that. Okay. So I wasn't always maybe the biggest Shingo fan, but I feel that with this G1, he's made it on my list for favorite matches a few times. And this is the first one, the match that he had with Will Ospreay. And I do think that I'm becoming a bigger fan of Shingo. And so I'm looking over my notes here, guys. There was so much that went down with this. All right. So first of all, right from the start, Will Ospreay, he came in with so much energy, like just coming out into the ring. He had like all this energy going into this match. There was a lot of verbal interaction between the two, which I thought added so much to this, because you just really felt it from both men. Like, you really felt that both of them just really wanted to win this. And this was a high speed match. This is the kind of match that you would expect from Will Ospreay. And that's what I like about Will Ospreay, is that, you know, sometimes he changes things up with his opponent, but this is the match that we necessarily, if you're a fan of how Will Ospreay works, this is the match that you would expect from him. And this is the match that he had with Shingo. So honestly, it was a cool match and made me a bigger fan of Shingo. Seth Morgana says Shingo is the best. And then Lou Pickney says, and Ospreay versus Shingo had to follow Ishii versus Ibushi. And then Chucky Chunga says, Shingo is Ishii tier. Alrighty, guys. Now, the next match that I have to add here is Okada versus Jay White. So what I liked about this, and what I have to say, is that I think Jay White is doing some of the best character work out of anybody in the G1. I think everything he is doing has been so great. And I can't stop putting over Jay White. Here's the things that I've been putting him over for a while now, but now he's just adding more things to my list of why I'm a big Jay White fan. And so I love this match. I thought that Jay has been such a great heel, and he's that kind of heel that I love, though. This is a heel that I love. And I love that we got to see Okada get really angry in this match. So I did enjoy this one as well. The other match that I also love was Jay White versus Will Ospreay. This is the thing about Jay White and Will Ospreay, is that I think they're both the best, but they're both the best in very different ways. I think they both bring such different qualities and different things to the table that makes them both equally great, but in separate categories. And that's what I love about Jay White and Will Ospreay. And one of my favorite parts about this match, though, was how Jay White, you know, he would look straight to the camera and he would be making like these crazy facial expressions, and he would be mocking the crowd and, you know, clapping along and doing all of these crazy things and like these crazy facial expressions. So I love that part. But honestly, I think I mainly liked all the story of this match between Will Ospreay and Jay White. So that's why it definitely made it onto my list here. Now, my last match that I really, really loved was Ishii versus Shingo. And this was from the September 30th show. I honestly have one word to describe this match, and that is power. God, these two guys, literally, it was crazy. Like, they're just these two big these two big scary men just going at it, wanting to kill each other. My favorite part was when they were both down on their knees and they were headbutting each other, just directly to each other. That part was so sick. Honestly, it was such a great match. I really liked this one. And this was one of the ones where I just really didn't know who was going to win or what was going to happen. So definitely a big fan of these ones here. Bobby got another super chat. Thank you so much to Steven Larson's Going In Raw for sending in a super chat. It says, and they say, good luck on your new endeavor here on F4W, Denise, from your friends, Steve and Larson. Thank you so much, guys, for sending in a super chat. You guys are absolutely awesome. Alrighty, guys. So, okay. Now, the matches that almost made it, because I wanted to add matches that almost made it to my top favorite matches from the G1 so far. I did enjoy Ishii versus Will Ospreay. However, it wasn't the match that I was necessarily expecting. It was a slower pace, but a nice balance. Jay White versus Kota Ibushi. I loved everything that they did in this match. So this one almost made it to one of my favorites. Naito versus Zack Sabre Jr. I mean, Naito work. And the way that he moves is just so intriguing. And then I also couldn't wait to see ZSJ take him down and just put him in the mat and do some groundwork. I was very excited to see that go down. So both of these guys had me, you know, in anticipation during this match. And then lastly, I do want to add one of the matches that almost made it to my top favorites was Jeff Cobb versus Kota Ibushi, mainly because my favorite part was when Kota would literally kick Jeff Cobb in the chest, but Jeff Cobb is like this big brick wall, so it really did like no impact to him whatsoever. And I'm so happy for Jeff Cobb as well, because this is something that he's been wanting for a while, so it's really cool to just sort of see him, you know, doing his thing, guys. Wow. Alrighty, guys. So there you go. We sort of went through a lot today. Talked about some tweets. Talked about TakeOver, AEW, NXT, the Kurt Angle, Broken Skull Sessions with Stone Cold, and also the G1 Climax 30. So guys, this is my first show. So I just want to say thank you so much for everybody who has tuned in, that's tuning in, that's watching right now, and is going to watch the replay of this. I just want to say, like, I'm so, so thankful to be here and so excited and so nervous too, guys. I was pretty nervous during like parts of this, you know, stream. So I hope that, you know, as we move on and we keep doing more and more shows, like, we just like get to know each other. And I'm really looking forward to making friends with all of you guys and all of that stuff. So I do love reading all of your thoughts and all of your opinions in these chats. If you're watching the replay or you're listening to the audio version of this, please make sure to let me know your thoughts. I'm very open to, you know, ideas or criticisms or anything like that. Go ahead and you can tweet me. You can Instagram me at @DeniseSalcedo. If you liked my show and you just want to tell the whole world, please make sure to do so. You can also go to my Twitter and my Instagram and you can tweet me or gram me and just spread the word about the show, guys. I am going to be here each and every single Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 11 p.m. Eastern Time every single week. And every single week will be different depending on the wrestling week. I will incorporate different stuff onto the show. Once again, if you have any ideas or anything you want me to incorporate, please let me know. And every week will feature an AEW NXT roundup and a bunch of other random stuff that we come up with and all of this. Oh my God, we got another super chat. Abhinav Turamula says, breathe with the switchblade. Good comment. Thank you so much for sending in a super chat. You are awesome. Alrighty. And I do want to also let you guys know. Oh, Michael at Squibble. Thank you so much for sending in another super chat. And Tyler Hansen says, love the show. This was awesome to hear. Charisma 32 says, awesome show. Many more to come. Hopefully. I want to do a good job and make a good impression, because I don't want to do a bad job. But all right. Okay, so aside from doing the Wednesday shows, I will also be doing the post pay-per-view recap shows for AEW. So anytime AEW has a pay-per-view, I will be doing the post show review on the Twitch channel. So make sure you guys go on the Twitch, because that is where I will be for the AEW post show review. So make sure to head on over there and we'll have lots of fun. It'll be similar to this, but obviously we'll be talking about AEW and it'll be in a different sort of format. So there you guys go, guys. That is my show for today. I hope you guys all had a good time. Please make sure to like this video. Tell everybody that you enjoyed it. Hopefully you guys did. In the description box, I did include the links to all my social media accounts, to my YouTube channel, which you guys can check out, youtube.com/DeniseSalcedo. On there, you guys can check out all of my interviews. It's a channel that includes pop culture and pro wrestling. So you guys can check out all of my interviews. I have some recent ones, like the ones that I just mentioned with Candice LeRae. I have one with the Good Brothers. I have one with Sean Spears. I have Drew McIntyre, Mickey James, Melina, you name it. They're on there. Go to youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. But thank you guys so, so much. And I can't wait to hear your feedback. Please, please hit me up on Twitter or on Instagram @_Denise Salcedo. Thank you guys all so much for joining me. And I'm going to go ahead and end the stream. Bye, everyone. Have a great night.